It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Today we're continuing our series of interviews with candidates for the office of State Attorney General with the chairman of the Montgomery County Board of Commissioners, Josh Shapiro. Mr. Shapiro served in the State House from 2005 to 2012. He declared his candidacy for Attorney General last month, and he joins a Democratic primary field that includes Allegheny County District Attorney Stephen Zappala, former Delaware County Federal Prosecutor Jack Stolzheimer, and incumbent Attorney General Kathleen Kane, who says she will seek re-election despite having her law license suspended and facing a trial and legislative sanctions for allegedly leaking grand jury information. Josh Shapiro, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Wonderful to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
You can join the conversation with your own questions at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email is ESSPGH at WESA.FM and on Twitter at ESSPGH. Again, the number 412-246-2002. Josh Shapiro, in light of all that has happened with Kathleen Kane since she was elected Attorney General in 2012, how do you plan to restore integrity to this office if you are elected?
Well, I think you restore integrity based on how you conduct yourself, based on how you set a tone and a plan and establish an approach to an office that is rooted in the foundation of integrity and sound judgment. That every decision you make has to sort of go through that pipeline and filter through to make sure that it's being done for the right reasons. I think at the end of the day, we need to do three things, and I think this election is going to be based on three things. Number one, who has the ability and the track record to restore integrity to the Office of Attorney General? And throughout my career in Harrisburg in the State House, leading Montgomery County, and also as chairman of the Pennsylvania Commission on Crime and Delinquency, I have done that. Number two, who has a track record of cleaning up a mess? Because it's very clear that that office is a mess and needs someone to come in and reform it and fix it. I wasn't afraid to take on the status quo in Harrisburg. I inherited a mess in Montgomery County where I was the first Democrat in 150 years to lead that government. And there were a lot of challenges we faced. We turned things around. I can do the same thing in the Office of Attorney General. And number three, who's going to get the most out of that office? Meaning, who is going to use that office to its fullest potential to actually go out and do the work that statutorily it's required to do? And that is be the one person that every single Pennsylvanian can call when they need something. Be the one person who's going to defend everybody's civil rights. Be the one person who's going to stand up and acknowledge that in certain situations, the system is rigged against certain people in Pennsylvania, and be the one voice protecting those people. That's what this election is all about. Restoring integrity, cleaning up a mess, and being the person that can go and fight for all Pennsylvanians. I've got a track record of doing that, and I look forward to doing that as Pennsylvania's next Attorney General.
When you say that the system is rigged, how is it rigged? And I don't think there are too many people that would doubt you, but let's talk specifically about how it's rigged and who is it rigged against?
I think it is rigged against students in certain zip codes that are never given the constitutionally required thorough education that Pennsylvanians all should have. I think it's rigged against certain people who don't have safe drinking water in Pennsylvania or don't have clean air. And again, our Constitution requires pure drinking water or pure water and clean air. I think it's rigged against those senior citizens who don't know any better when the telemarketers harass them and are able to dip into their checking accounts and take money away from them. I think it's rigged against the people in urban and suburban and even parts of rural Pennsylvania who can't go to sleep at night without potentially hearing a gunshot or worrying about their safety. I think it's rigged against the people that see drillers in their backyards and wonder what the chemicals are in the water that they're leaving behind. And I think the Attorney General needs to stand up and make sure that each and every one of those people have a voice in the process. And if you look at our Constitution, our state Constitution, there's no one else empowered with the ability to stand up for those people than the Attorney General. The governor certainly has a strong voice in that. Your state lawmakers have a voice in that. But the Attorney General is the one that can enforce the laws and ensure that those people are protected.
Are there ways in which the Attorney General's office can be proactive? For example, when it comes to, let's talk about clean drinking water, which is a hot topic based on what's happened in Flint, Michigan. There have been concerns about that here in Allegheny County. And in Pittsburgh, we get our water from rivers just like Flint does. So what would you do? Is it a matter of simply responding in a timely fashion to what people complain about or concerns that they have? Or are there things that you can do that the Attorney General can do proactively that maybe is not being done or hasn't been done?
Certainly, it's easy to be reactive. Someone comes in your office and complains about the quality of the drinking water, and you investigate it. And if you need to go after someone for illegally polluting the water stream, you do. But I think it's much broader than that. And I think it speaks to a broader issue that we've seen with past attorney generals and our current attorney general. They simply have not used that office to be the people's attorney. They have not used that office to go out and protect all Pennsylvanians. So what would I do in that case? I would go and I would conduct an investigation as the Attorney General, utilizing the vast resources of our office to make sure that every Pennsylvanian could get the constitutionally guaranteed right to pure water. And if that didn't exist in certain communities, in certain zip codes, in certain parts of Pittsburgh or anywhere in Pennsylvania, we would aggressively go after those who were leading to the pollution of that water source. We would partner with the industry that wanted to help us clean it up, and we go after the industry that was polluting it. But at the end of the day, the one thing that would be constant is we'd be looking out for the people of Pennsylvania. This awful situation in Flint, Michigan, and I'm not suggesting that's occurring here in Pennsylvania, but were something like that to be occurring here in Pennsylvania, you can rest assured if I was Attorney General, it wouldn't take years before it would be exposed. I'd expose it, I'd go after the source of the problem, in this case, the lead pollution, and I'd make sure the people were safe.
412-246-2002 to join our conversation with Josh Shapiro, who is a candidate for Attorney General on the Democratic side. We have Mickey from Moon Township on the line with a question. Mickey, welcome.
Oh, hello, and thank you for your public service, Mr. Shapiro. I have a question. Illinois had a bunch of attorney generals who became governors, and a lot of them went to prison because they actually put a lot of people in jail with some bad prosecutions. We've seen the same thing with our judges working with prosecutors, ex parte and with Porngate. And you were there in the legislature and during also the judicial overview. Would you, as Attorney General, take a review of some of the prosecutions that happened under Corbett as Attorney General and under his governorship, and then maybe have to overturn those convictions that were basically political agenda to get elected, become governor? Or are you going to just continue what you did now in the legislature, sit by and let it happen?
Mm. Sounds like Mickey's being a little critical.
I'm not sure what Mickey's being, but he's mentioned a few things. So let me try to unpack it all. I do think that we need an attorney general who's focused on being attorney general, and I will be, number one. Number two, as it relates to Porngate and the ex parte communications, because I think that was somewhere in Mickey's commentary, let me tell you what I would do, because this Porngate is troublesome for a multitude of reasons. But if you sort of put it in two separate buckets, I'll tell you how I'd attack both. Number one, you've got the bucket of these ex parte or these communications happening between literally the highest elected judges in the Commonwealth on the Supreme Court with lawyers and other judges who are either going to appear before them or could potentially be before them on appeal. That level of coziness causes everyone to question whether the justice system is working for them or rigged against them. And that is a very, very serious violation of the public trust. What I will do is make sure that the justice system's integrity is restored as Attorney General.
How do you stop that from happening, though?
Well, let me get to the second part of my answer, and I think that speaks to it. The second thing I would do, and this is where I would differ from General Kane, is I would expose all of the emails. I'd put everything out there. I wouldn't selectively release an email against this person or that person or the other person. I've been in public service long enough to know that the best way to attack a problem, the best way to reform a system, is to shed some sunlight on it. Put everything out there. I wouldn't hold back certain emails. I'd put everything out there, and I would show who was complicit in this, who was involved in this, who was directly pushing this type of nonsense. And remember, it's not just pornographic emails. You had racist emails, homophobic emails, misogynistic emails, emails that speak to the character of one's judgment. And the people in question here are the ones who are supposed to be the judges for all, the ones who are supposed to ensure integrity in our system. And they let Pennsylvanians down. So as Attorney General, I'd put it all out there. I'd expose everything and everyone in the process as a way of cleaning up the mess, cleaning up the system, and restoring honor and integrity to it so that every Pennsylvanian knew when they walked into a courtroom, knew when an attorney general agent or attorney general lawyer approached them, that they were going to be given a fair shot. They might not like the end result, but at least they'd know it was fair. And under my leadership, that will happen.
I don't want to make too much of this about Kathleen Kane, but clearly, you know, that's the elephant in the room and the thing that is hanging over this election in many, many ways. She says that she can perform her job as attorney general effectively, even though her law license has been suspended. Do you think that's possible?
Well, here's what I want to do. I won't comment on her individual legal case. I think that's between her and her lawyers and the prosecutors. What I will say, though, as a taxpayer, as a Pennsylvanian, and as someone who would like to be attorney general, yes, you need a law license in order to do the job. And I think it's important that the people of Pennsylvania know that the person who is serving as their attorney general is worried about their legal rights, not their own legal predicament. And that's what I'll do as attorney general.
Can you explain the impact of not having a law license, whether it's Kathleen Kane or whoever it is? If you don't have a law license, what does that – she says, well, I can perform the functions of the job just fine without it. And obviously you disagree. Explain to people what an attorney general needs that law license for.
I think the public gets it. You're electing the top attorney in the state. You're electing the top law enforcement officer. The word attorney is actually in the title of attorney general. I think you need to be an attorney, and you need to be an attorney that understands the full scope of the office, that understands the full range of powers the office has to protect all Pennsylvanians, that can get the most out of the staff, the attorneys and the detectives and other the investigators and others who are doing that work, and who can be the one person that everyone in Pennsylvania can call when they feel like their rights are being infringed upon, and not worry about the personal agenda of the attorney general, or not worry about the personal predicament that the attorney general finds themselves in as a reason that that person's rights might not be upheld, or a reason that that person's rights not be able to be pursued in our justice system to protect them.
412-246-2002 to join our conversation with Josh Shapiro, who is one of the candidates for state attorney general. 412-246-2002. Email is ESSPGH@WESA.FM and on Twitter at ESSPGH. Again, the number 412-246-2002. There had been speculation, Mr. Shapiro, that you would run for U.S. Senate. You ended up not doing that and choosing instead to run for attorney general. Why did you make that decision?
I was asked by Senator Schumer and Senator Reid in Washington to run for the United States Senate against Pat Toomey. And I thought long and hard about it. And the truth is, my wife asked me the one question that I could never answer, and it's the reason why I didn't run. It wasn't about politics. It wasn't about fundraising. It wasn't about any of that stuff. My wife said to me, why do you want the job? And what are you going to do with it? And at the end of the day, the more I thought about it, going to Washington to be one of 100 voices, albeit in, certainly an august chamber, I didn't feel like I could have the same impact I could have as Pennsylvania's attorney general, where day in and day out, I could fight in very tangible ways for the people of Pennsylvania. You know, I enjoy, for some reason, cleaning up messes. It's what I did in Montgomery County. It's what I did when I went to Harrisburg and took on the status quo as a state lawmaker. And it's a mess in the Office of Attorney General. And I believe deeply in public service and in good government. And I think I've got the skill set and the background and the unique qualifications to clean up that mess. And I'd rather take whatever little God-given talent I have and the skills that I've been able to hone over the years and apply it to repairing, restoring, and reforming the Office of Attorney General, where I know at the end of the day I can have a more positive impact on the people that I'd be elected to represent.
Being attorney general in Pennsylvania has been a stepping stone to the governor's office. Is that something that might be in your long-range sights?
I want to be attorney general and be attorney general. I'm very serious about that. I'm very focused on this race. I'm very focused on the issues that the attorney general needs to grapple with, both in terms of cleaning up the mess and also in terms of protecting people's rights. And I am focused like a laser beam on that and looking forward to getting elected and serving as your attorney general.
What can your office do about the growing heroin epidemic? It is in many ways off the charts here in Pittsburgh. It's become one of the worst cities in the country for this problem. It is a nationwide epidemic, but it seems to be a problem that's particularly acute here in Pennsylvania. How would you go about dealing with that?
On Saturday, I began at an event in Gettysburg. I was then in Warren County. I was in Erie. The next day I was in Delaware County, among other places I've been just over this past weekend, and now obviously here with you today in Pittsburgh. At every single stop, someone has asked me about heroin. It is the number one accidental killer, or the number one killer and resulting in accidental deaths in Pennsylvania today. It is truly an extraordinary epidemic that we need to get our arms around. Let me tell you specifically what I've done. As chairman of the county commissioners in Montgomery County, years ago, we set up a task force bringing together law enforcement, the head of the Pennsylvania Police Chiefs Association, as well as people from social services, to begin to look at drug addiction as a disease, not a crime. And I think when you get both ends of the spectrum together working on this, we're able to tackle this problem in a bigger and better way. I've taken that approach across the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania as chairman of the Pennsylvania Commission on Crime and Delinquency, where we've done some very specific things. Number one, you'd be amazed at how many old prescriptions are laying around in people's medicine cabinets, of which many of them are opioids. And we're in a position where if they fall into the wrong hands, they can be highly addictive. We now have drug drop boxes all across Pennsylvania. I was in Cumberland County just last month, I guess it was. And we filled an entire truckload full of medicine that was just taken out of people's cabinets. 20% of them were opioids or you know, the drug in relation to heroin. It would be so easy for people to get addicted to that. We've got those drug boxes. Number two, we're working with medical groups to make sure that the overprescribing of pain medication doesn't lead to or they're not overprescribed, because oftentimes we're finding that they are leading to drug dependency and drug addiction. And what you have is, and we just had this issue in the main line down in Montgomery and Delaware County. You had a star athlete, and I've heard these stories all across Pennsylvania. The star athlete, never been in trouble before, never used drugs, from a home in a good zip code with reasonable wealth in the family. Kid goes to a good school, all good influences around him. He blew out his knee playing sports. He took OxyContins, got hooked on OxyContins, couldn't get prescriptions for them anymore, began to use other drugs that he could get illegally until eventually he went to heroin because it was $5 a bag. It was easily accessible, and it was something that enabled him to get a similar high or a similar feeling that he was getting on the oxys. I've heard stories about this over and over and over again. That young man died recently, and we have to do better by young people who are getting hooked. We got to do better by all people who are getting hooked. But make no mistake, this is not an urban issue. It's not a suburban issue. It's not a rural issue. This is a Pennsylvania issue. And the other thing that that we've been doing sort of in the third bucket is working with law enforcement to make sure they have the tools to reverse drug overdoses. Now, nearly all state police and many municipal police departments and first responders across Pennsylvania are able to carry a wonder drug called naloxone. And naloxone, if a police officer, first responder approaches someone who's overdosed, they're literally able to give them an injection or shoot a spray up their nose and reverse the overdose and at least get this person in a position of being able to get some drug treatment. Final thing I'll say about this, which is a broader topic than just heroin. We've got to get serious about how we deal with diseases in this Commonwealth and treat them as diseases and not as crimes. We have too many nonviolent offenders behind bars because they have a drug dependency. Too many nonviolent offenders behind bars because they have mental illness. And I'm not equating the two, but I'm using them as two examples. We've got to do a better job of using our human and social services capacities to help those nonviolent offenders, keep them out of jail, get them back on the right track, and get them the treatment that they need. Jail should be reserved for the people who are selling the drugs, for the people who are the real criminals. And I will aggressively pursue those criminals and lock them up for a long time. At the same time, we've got to make sure that those who need help are getting it. And our system is set up the wrong way. You asked me before, and I'll close with this. You asked me before about who the system's rigged against. It's rigged against someone with a drug dependency. It's rigged against someone with a disease.
You're saying we've had a history in this state of substituting incarceration for rehabilitation?
Yeah, because it's easier to just incarcerate someone for a period of time. You know, we have in Montgomery County, probably 40% of our population is on psychotropic medications. They have serious mental illnesses in our county prison. By the way, one thing that's uniform, the Allegheny County Prison, Montgomery County Prison, and others all across the board, most of those people, virtually all of those people in county prisons, are going to get out. They're not lifers. Those folks are in, those, you know, people are in our state prisons. But what I do know for sure is that if we can treat diseases as diseases and help them, then we're going to be in a better position to go after the real criminals and make sure that they're locked up and the others are getting the treatment that they need.
Before we let you go, I wanted to talk about gun violence, which is a big problem in Pennsylvania, in Pittsburgh, certainly in Philadelphia, all over the state. What is the best way to bring gun violence under control?
We have to aggressively ensure that there's background checks and make sure that law-abiding citizens, and I'm a Second Amendment supporter, but law-abiding citizens have to go through, should go through background checks. We need to make sure that that's universal across the board. We also need to make sure that those with a history of mental illness and those who should not be having guns because of past criminal actions aren't getting their hands on guns. And then we need to aggressively partner with municipal police departments all across Pennsylvania and partner with them to get illegal guns off the street for those who go outside the system and work through the black market. This can be done if you have an attorney general who's committed to the issue and committed to working with municipal police departments to go after it. We can balance Second Amendment rights with the right to make sure that people aren't shot in their communities for being innocent bystanders or shot in their communities because the wrong people got their hands on guns. I will aggressively go after this. I will partner with law enforcement to do it, and we will make our communities safer.
So you agree, for example, with the president and what he recently suggested, that we need to tighten gun laws?
Yes.
Background checks?
Absolutely, 100%.
What about straw purchases and gun show purchases?
At gun show purchases, we need to have background checks. I agree with that. And straw purchases has to be something that we more aggressively go after. A lot of that work has to be done by the local police department's local district attorney, but we are prepared to partner with the 67 district attorneys and the police departments across this Commonwealth. Look, we had a tragic situation in Montgomery County where a police officer was shot and killed, Officer Brad Fox, actually on a county trail. And he was shot and killed with someone who bought a gun illegally through a straw purchase. We need to be serious about dealing with straw purchases. We need serious reform around the background check system. Unfortunately, most of that leadership has to come from the federal level. I hope they pass it. Perhaps some more can be done at the state level, though this legislature has proven to not be willing to do that. But I will aggressively enforce the laws. One of the things I often hear about from my friends in the NRA and my friends who support Second Amendment rights, and again, I do as well, is they'll say, well, you guys don't enforce all the laws on the books. Rest assured, when Josh Shapiro's attorney general, we will enforce all the gun laws on the books, and we will advocate for things like universal background checks.
We've been talking with Josh Shapiro. He is a Democratic candidate for state attorney general, stopping by our studios today. We appreciate your being here with us, and we'll look forward to perhaps more conversations down the road. Josh Shapiro, thanks for being with us.
Thank you. I look forward to coming back, and maybe at some point we'll even have a debate on your program. I'd love to do that. I think the more we can talk about these issues, the more the people of Pennsylvania can hear about them, the better off we'll all be.
Sounds good. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Coming up, we will look at a problem in Pittsburgh described by City Controller Michael Lamb as a runaway train. The problem of paying overtime, holiday, and other premium costs to public safety personnel. That's next on Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.